Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
We're here to take another step on the leadership journey, and joining me is my co-host, Brian Kite. Brian, always great to talk.
Now, on the intro, it says your full name, so I started, when I'm listening to the episodes, I recognize that you say Brian Kite, and I just say Keith back. I feel like I should say Keith Grabowski back to you so that you know we get at least a little bit of symmetry on that. So, good to hear from you, Keith Grabowski.
Awesome. Well, Brian, we're going to dig into something today that we looked back through this. We may have missed it. We never have gone deep on E plus R equals O, and it's fundamental to everything we talk about.
It is fundamental. The likeliest reason that we've not gone deep on it is probably because it's our most popular and well-known tool and system that a lot of the listeners probably know our company and me and my dad, Tim Kite, for. And so we probably avoid talking about it here, frankly, because we probably do so many things elsewhere. But this is a good time to maybe dig into some of the mechanics. And I think this is also a fun platform and a good one where I can talk about maybe some of the undervalued or underapplied ways that E plus R equals O is used and some of the ways that I use it that are maybe 201 or 301 levels of application that are not in the standard videos you might see on Twitter or frankly even on the virtual training that you can buy through USA Football.
And I think it's a good time to revisit this topic or get deep on it because it is a time of the year where most of the country is done playing football. You know, we have several state championships coming up this week and then the weeks beyond. So the pool of teams that are still out there playing has dwindled significantly. And I think a lot of people are looking at what are we going to do next year to build our culture? And I was kind of joking around the other day on Twitter and I put just a graphic up there that said, insert famous coach quote here. And how do you build culture? You find a cool quote, put it on a t-shirt, put it on your walls, talk about it again and again and again, and then just sit back and watch it happen. But the point is, it really doesn't happen that way, that this requires a system. It requires, talk about it all the time, a playbook. And as I mentioned in the introduction, E plus R equals O is at the heart of it.
E plus R equals O is at the heart of life. It's at the heart of everything that we do. It's so much more than football. It's so much more than coaching. It just happens to be incredibly valuable to both coaching and to football. And for those who aren't familiar with it, and frankly, for those who are, what E plus R equals O stands for is event plus response equals outcome. And, well, let me take a step back. E plus R equals O, first, it's a mindset. And second, it's a skill set. And that's not just conversational for this discussion you and I are having. E plus R equals O is a mindset first and a skill set second. And that's how it has to be understood and taught and installed and applied. If you don't work at instilling that mindset into you, the skill set is going to be mostly unavailable. It's not the skill set that you start getting good at. It's the mindset and then the skill set. So here's what the mindset is. The mindset has four components and the skill set has six. And we won't talk through all of it. And we won't do work on all of it here today because we're only going to go about a half hour. But I'll give you the structure. And then you can dig in more after this episode and all of the places that these things are offered, both for free. And if you want a more formal paid version, you can do that. The mindset is this. There's four components to it. The first, I do not control events. The second, I do control my response. The third, outcomes are determined by the quality of my response. And then the fourth, E plus R equals O, is the way life works. And so the four pieces of the mindset in even more simplified terms. I don't control events. I don't control outcomes, but I do create them. I do control my response. And E plus R equals O, that's just how all of life works. And that is important to understand from a mindset perspective because all of the skill set of controlling what you control, of understanding events, of aiming for outcomes and trying to choose the right response. All of the execution of the skill, it depends upon and it rests on the foundation of deeply adopting and implementing that mindset first. And here's what I mean, Keith. If you don't fully embrace the fact that you don't control events, then what is going to happen is this. You're going to encounter an event that you don't want to encounter, and you are going to reactionary respond impulsively to some unwanted event that you don't want to have to deal with in an angry way of trying, of wishing you didn't have to deal with it. And you're going to try to unwind it or tell somebody it's unfair and they're not allowed to do that to you. It's going to be a poor response because you didn't press pause. It was founded not in a lack of skill set. It was founded in a lack of the mindset that you didn't look at that event and that circumstance and say, I don't control this. I have to control myself. So I want to make sure everybody understands first and foremost the amount of work required just on the mindset portion of E plus R equals O. I don't control events. I don't control outcomes, but I do create them. I do control my response, and E plus R equals O is always the way that everything works. It's only limited by my willingness to apply it. And that's the starting point for everything that we do in application, again, from a sports perspective or a life perspective.
I know sometime back when I was preparing for my first head coaching interview, so it had to be, God, 20 years ago now or something like that. Wow, I'm old. But I was going through and putting together my coaching philosophies and really getting clear on those types of things and studying other coaches. And one of those guys who I really liked and a lot of what he said resonated with me was John Wooden. And he had a big emphasis, and I think I put it in my coaching manual, in my coaching portfolio, about those things that we don't control. And there's so many of them that I think if you get focused on all those different things, from the official's call to the weather to, honestly, the play calling of the coach to how good or how bad the opponent is, we fail on really understanding what we need in the response part, that there's so much we don't control. And I know in talking to your father, I know he was greatly influenced by Coach Wooden, having spent some time there in Southern California on campus. And I know somehow that has become part of what he believes as well.
It absolutely was. Wooden was a huge influence, still is a huge influence on my dad. He actually ran track at UCLA, so he was a UCLA student athlete while Wooden was still there. So that was fun for him. And a good application starting point for what you just mentioned, we start to, because I'm not really interested in the theory of this, Keith. Mm-hmm. That's really important for everybody to understand. Here's the other thing I'm not interested in. I'm also not interested in the motivational tactics that E plus R equals O tries to bring to the table. I don't care about the quotes. I don't care about the phrases. I care about the application. I care about the training. I care about the skills. And I care about the production. And I care about the experience. I'll put that one on there. I care about application. The fact, are you doing it? The training, are you working at it? The production, is it actually producing things that are valuable? The skill, how good are you at it and how high of the production can you create? And then I care about the experience of, hey, is it helping you through something that's difficult? Is it giving you really top-end great experiences? Is it keeping you focused when it might get routine and mundane? So for example, let me just go through a single scenario that we touched on last week, and let's talk about how the, and again, this is only talk, so it's not the doing. The doing comes after this conversation. But let's talk about what would the E plus R equals O mindset apply to something we talked about last week, and that is dealing with parents. Okay, well, let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. So what does the mindset say before we even talk about the skill of what to do with parents? And this is relevant because this is the starting point for almost all the conversations I have with coaches, and they want to hustle into the what should I do section of the conversation, and I have to slow them down and keep them in the mindset portion of the conversation, because they don't a lot of coaches don't have the right mindset to be able to deploy a skill set that would help them with parents. So let's take the four pieces of the E plus R equals O, or the R factor, which is what the actual program is called, the system, and let's apply it to parents. I don't control events, which means you don't control parents. You don't control the ones that are good. You don't control the ones that are difficult. You don't control the ones that give you freedom and space to do it how you want. You don't control the ones who are overbearing and sticking their hands into places where parents, if I was coaching a parent, probably shouldn't. You control absolutely nothing about who lives in your community, the way the people in your community act. You don't control their opinions about you. You don't control their perspectives. You don't control what they do on social media. You control absolutely none of it. That you have to work so hard at that mindset, because if you don't, you're going to start to drift into a place where you try to control those environments. It's just what human nature is. So you don't control what a parent does. And I say that because so many times you get really, really good parents and you're thankful and you're grateful. And then you get some parents who are a struggle and you start getting really resentful. And we end up not balancing out the fact that, well, you never controlled having good parents. And so, you know, sometimes we just underappreciate having a great parent or thinking that somehow we created it in the program, which we just didn't. So don't be reactionary to things you don't control. It was never up to you in the first place anyway. And I think the second part of that, Keith, is if you coach football, what did you think was going to happen? This is where I want to grab, like, there's coaches I want to grab and I want to shake them. Okay. And I mean coaches at every level. I'm not talking about middle school. I'm not talking about just high school. I'm talking every level that we coach, pro and college. I want to shake them. What did you think was going to happen with this role? And why is it that when an event shows up that's difficult or unfair, why is it that you think that you shouldn't be subjected to that? Why are you special? I mean, that's like waiting tables and then complaining that not all your customers are great, which I waited tables and waiters and waitresses would do that. It's waiting tables.
Right.
Of course you don't control how customers treat you. Like, that's how it goes. It's the job. I mean, to this point, I just don't have empathy for coaches when they start complaining about parents because it's the job. So don't worry about controlling them. Second piece, I don't control outcomes. So here's why you have to understand that. You can do everything right as a coach, and you can still have parents criticize you. You can empathize, be patient, be kind, be pressing in how you do it. You can do everything right, and it's still out of your control. Because we don't control outcomes. We just have to try to create them. And that is the third piece, which is a skilled R. Look, there are some times where you're engaged in a skilled R, and the R you engage in, despite the fact that it's the best you are capable of, it still won't produce the outcome you want because it's just out of your control. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. And that, I think that's really healthy to keep in mind, particularly as coaches who are very focused on trying to create outcomes, is that sometimes the best you're capable of won't work. Sometimes it just won't. Sometimes the E was too constraining. The event was too constraining. The other person was too constraining. And your R was never going to be able to overcome it. That's real. Same thing's true for me. So we have to understand that we don't control the outcomes. And that's important because if you think you control outcomes, you can get caught trying to engage in a response once, twice, maybe three times, not getting the outcome you want, and then throwing your hands up and blaming it on somebody else. And we can't do that. Knowing that we don't control outcomes genuinely really helps us stay focused on the R. And that brings me to the third one, and that is my response is always my choice. I do control my response at all times. Every single way that you interact with parents is your responsibility. Every way that your program gets positioned, every attitude you take towards a parent, every mindset that you take towards a parent, every tone you take with a parent, every choice of response that you take with a parent, every word you say, every piece of information you share, every piece of information you withhold, all of those are your responsibility. And you have to own and claim and accept responsibility for every single decision and choice that you make when it comes to dealing with parents. Nothing is somebody else's fault. when it comes to how you interact with parents, but yours. Like, that's just how it is. Nothing is somebody else's fault in my business than mine. It's me, because that is my job. I am responsible for every R that I engage in as a CEO. And I do not get to blame a difficult client. I do not get to blame an inconsistent vendor. I don't get to do any of that ever. I don't get to look at my employees and say, well, you're a hard employee to deal with. They might be, but I'm responsible for me. So with approaching parents, just because we started to touch on it last week, Keith, the E plus R equals O mindset, that's where it begins. And then, you know, the fourth one is E plus R equals O is the way life works, including how we interact with parents. And so let's just change it. I don't control parents. I do control myself. And the outcomes that I get with parents will be determined by the quality of my response, not by the quality of the parent. Like, just that right there, Keith, I'm gonna pause and slow down. Just that mindset right there, stated the way I just said it. I don't control parents. I control everything about myself, and the outcomes I get with parents will be determined by the quality of my response. Just that right there is a game changer for a lot of coaches out there in their mindset alone.
I think the mindset, especially when you're dealing with, I think, this topic, something as difficult as dealing with a parent, somebody who has their own vision for the experience of their child, how much their child maybe plays, where their child plays, how much their child gets the ball. Those are all very difficult things. They're not always going to see it in the perspective. They're certainly not going to see it in the perspective of a coach, because they're not in your meetings. They're not at your practices. They don't see everything that goes on. They just see the results of it. They see what happens on Friday night. And a lot of times, I've probably been there myself as a parent, you get frustrated because you think you know your child better. You know your child's abilities better, et cetera. And it's a very difficult thing for a coach to deal with, probably the most difficult. I heard a coach one time say, if you don't want to deal with parents, go find an orphanage to coach at, because it's just a reality of what you're going to do. I mean, there may be some seasons where you have less to deal with than others, and sometimes that's a function of winning and losing. But actually, I've found that even in some of the best seasons, you still get some of those issues. So it's something we have to create a better response for. And the question I have for you, as you're talking about this, I wonder, because I've done this before and trying to control things, I guess, and set ourselves up, you know, are we making a mistake when we stand up at that parents' meeting and rattle off a list of things that you can't talk to me about, that it's not okay to do? Are we setting ourselves up for failure with that, in thinking that by saying those things, we're not going to have to deal with it, or they'll leave me alone about it? Because one way or the other, that eventually is going to bubble up to the surface. I mean, a parent who says, okay, I can't talk to them about playing time, if it's really, really bothering them, somehow that's coming out. And it might be, unfortunately, through their kid acting out sooner or later, because he hears it more at home than he's, you know, at practice for 2 hours a day.
You know, as always, Keith, it depends on context and tone, right? So I don't know that that activity is a mistake. I would tell you that if I were to make an assessment, I would say that coaches out there frequently make a mistake of handling that process in ways that come across as either standoffish, antagonistic, or act like control freaks. I don't mean control freak as like some terrible, horrible thing. I just mean it. Pick whatever lighter version of that if you feel like that's too intense for you. But
well,
they come across as overly controlling,
right,
demanding, you know, like,
yeah.
A coach who wants authority, like some kind of kingdom, and, you know, stay out of my sandbox kind of thing.
Right.
And I mean, look, if it comes across that way, why, of course, parents are going to start to not feel great about you. Like, of course. And what I find really interesting on that front, and I'm gonna come to the other side, because I don't want coaches to feel like in any way, shape, or form I'm talking to that I'm on like some kind of parent side on things, because I'm not. I'm on the side of truth and effectiveness. I don't care whether you're a coach or a parent. It's about you know, what works and what doesn't. So I'm gonna tell a story from this week. But a lot of the same coaches who try to hold control and keep everybody out and set all of the rules and control everything inside their own programs are the same people who are BCDing about the fact that their principal or superintendent is doing that to them. And in one breath, they criticize the leader who does it to them. And then in the next breath, they go and they do it. And I believe they do it in their program. And I believe it doesn't come from bad intent, but I do believe that it does come from trying to control too many things that you don't control, which stems from not having a system for making the standards what you want, and people aren't good enough at doing it. And so therefore you feel like you have to control it. It's not that complex of a thing, and it shows up everywhere. Mm-hmm. So, but that's sort of a sidebar, because I want to make sure we stay on E plus R equals O today. Yeah. But I'll tell you a story. I'll tell you a story on the other side, right? The E plus R equals O application to a parent. I was in Phoenix this week speaking at an event, a large organization, multi-billion-dollar company. To give you a size of the company, I was working with one of their business units, about 50 leaders who run a $2 billion division of this company, right? So just these 50 leaders were responsible collectively for $2 billion in this one division. And I was talking to a woman about her son who plays lacrosse in high school and in club lacrosse. And she was asking about how to deal with, how to apply some of what we teach, E plus R equals O, discipline over default, how to apply it to teenagers and to coaching. And so we had a conversation. Her first question was, how do you apply this in athletics and as a parent to coaches? Like, what do we do? And I said, well, what specifically, what do you mean? And she said, well, how do I help the coaches, and how do I help my son with the coaches if we feel like it's not right where it needs to be? And here was the first thing I said. I said, the best thing you could possibly do is stay out of the way. It's the best thing you could possibly do as a parent. Stay out of the way. Because for all of you guys listening, of course I don't want parents injecting into the coaching system. Of course I don't want that. Right? Just like I don't want, when I put something on Twitter, people misinterpreting what I put on Twitter or twisting what I say to make it fit their agenda. But if I put something out in the public sphere, or I go and I public speak, guess what's going to happen when I public speak or put something out on Twitter? Guess what people are going to do? They're going to twist my words or not mm-hmm. like me or take what I say and misrepresent it. It's going to happen. So the alternative to that is just don't put anything out ever. Well, that's not what I'm going to do. So I told this mom, the best thing you could do is stay out of the way. Let the coach do their job and help your kid figure out how to navigate through what's happening in that environment. Now, if what that coach is doing is something that you're not interested in, and you have the capacity to voice something, if you're really not interested, but don't make it playing time, make it experience, and making sure that your kid is having a basic fair opportunity and fair shot, and then your kid has to produce. And then I said, the second thing you could do is, if your kid isn't meeting the standard, is make sure your kid understands why, whatever it is. Like, I don't know that I've ever met a coach. Coaches label kids sometimes, that happens. But I've never met a coach who just goes, I just don't like that kid, and I'm never giving him a shot at anything. I never met a coach say that. No. Now, coaches do label and keep kids in you know, doghouse too long or whatever it happens to be. And I do think those are some issues. But I never met a coach who just doesn't like a kid and therefore doesn't ever play him. But I've met plenty of parents who think that coaches do that. And so I said, you know, the best thing you could do for your kid is help your kid have a high level of self-awareness. And part of it came from the conversation you and I had a few weeks ago about, you know, managing your son, just because it was top of mind for me. I believe in that. Why am I not playing? Okay, here's why. It's this attitude, it's these skills. And frankly, sometimes, most of the time, if you feel like they should be starting and they're not, most of the time it's, I just think that other player is a little bit more trustworthy in like one or two areas of the game. And that's the reason. Like it's 49-51. And this kid is just a little bit more reliable on our punt team or whatever it is. And that's what gives them the edge sometimes. I go, help your kid understand it, and then go put your kid to work. That's it. Yeah. Now, are parents going to do that? Nope. Are they going to be unreasonable? Yep. But look, let's look at, I don't control the event. One of the things about E plus R equals O and not controlling the event is you have to understand the event. You don't control it, but you got to understand it. And so put this together. If you don't control the event, but you need to understand it so that you can respond well to it, let's go with simple. Parents, mostly rationally driven, mostly emotionally driven?
Emotionally driven.
Okay. Coaches, mostly interested in understanding the depth of the parent's emotions around it, or mostly expecting parents to think and operate rationally? What do they expect parents to do?
Yeah, they're expecting them to be rational.
Yeah, that's a dumb-ass response, Keith. That's my point. right? It's like, it's simple. Parents are not rational. You want them to be rational, right. But you know they are completely emotional, and then you don't want to deal with the emotion. That's not a parent issue. It's a you issue. You are looking the event in the face, and then you are asking it to be something it never will be, and then it isn't what you wanted it to be, and then you get angry. That's a you issue.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to be tough coaching and tough love, but that ain't a parent issue. It's a you issue. The parent issue is the fact that parents are always going to be doing some, you know, silly emotional stuff out of silly emotional reasons. That's what happens. So get better at the response, because here's why. Here's why, Keith. That E isn't going to change.
Nope.
Again, this isn't about me saying what's right and wrong. What I think is right and wrong is irrelevant. No parent calls and asks me what's right for me as a parent, and please set all of the way I'm going to live my life and raise my kids, BK, based on your view of right and wrong. Just like they don't ask you that, Keith.
Right.
Just like they don't ask any of you coaches. They don't ask you any of that, nor is that your role. Parents get to do what parents do. And just like kids are going to do what kids do, what your spouse is going to do what your spouse does, the E isn't going to change. And you don't control it. The only way things are going to get better is by your response. Now, when your response is better, you start producing better outcomes. And so here's a 201 thing. We don't control events, and we don't control outcomes, but we can create good outcomes through good R's. The differentiation there is really important, because this is a depth that people struggle with. They think people early on in E+R=O make it simplistic and not simple. Simplistic is something that always works, a silver bullet every time you want, and that's not E+R=O. You can engage in the right R and work really hard at this and still not get the outcomes that you want because your R just isn't good enough, or random luck or random chance. That's just how life works. So here's the next level though. You don't control outcomes, but you can create them. And so if your R is good enough to create good outcomes and better outcomes, they start to stack and compound. And as you create better outcomes, especially if you're doing it consistently and they're stacking and compounding, what happens as a broad life rule? What starts to happen to the events coming into your life on the whole, or the events that you're encountering when you are producing really good outcomes? Good outcomes tend to lead to what kind of events?
Better events.
There you go. Now, does that mean you control events? Absolutely not. Does that mean that as you produce really good outcomes, you're guaranteed to get great events in the future? It absolutely does not. Because a lot of times you'll produce really, really great outcomes for a while, and then things happen and like the worst events show up, and that's real. People make a lot of money and then get sick, or people win a bunch of games and then the quarterback gets hurt, or you work really hard to build a relationship with a parent and it goes really well, and then player does something or an off-field situation happens and it like really damages trust again. So we're all still living in this crazy world, but tomorrow's events are influenced significantly by today's outcomes. And today's outcomes are created by responses right now. So we start to see some of the cause and effect in the world, right? It feels like when you get this, when you really get this a few months from now, 6 months from now, after working at it and seeing it, it starts to feel like you see the matrix. Tomorrow's events are influenced significantly by today's outcomes. And today's outcomes are created by responses right now. So if you would like a parent to start treating you differently, approaching you differently, engaging differently with the team, you have to start producing better outcomes today. And to produce better outcomes today, you have to engage in better R's right now. Does that flow make sense? So now you start pulling out of theory and you start getting into practice. Well, now let's do this. Now let's ask common question. Yeah, but, which is how you know somebody's trying to drift away from themselves is the phrase, yeah, but. Yeah, but isn't the parent responsible for their R? And don't they have a responsibility in this? And the answer is yes, they do, but I'm not coaching them. They do have a responsibility, but they're not in the room. And they're not on this call right now. And they're likely not in the room if I'm working with your staff at national conference. The parents of the players you're coaching will not be sitting in the seats of the breakout sessions that I'm doing, having a conversation with all of us. You're here. You'll be in that room at the national conference. You'll be in a conversation with me. and I'm only coaching you. And so to expect a parent to get better themselves and manage their R before you start getting better yourself and managing your R, it's just a selfish approach. And it's a lot, in my observation, it's a lack of responsibility. I believe the only high character thing to do, the only integrity-based thing to do, the only accountable thing to do for a coach, especially a head coach, is to take responsibility for improving the situation and the relationship themselves and not wait for somebody else to do it. And that's ultimately what E plus R equals O represents, is not waiting for better events, not wishing for better outcomes, but looking at the events that they're experiencing, identifying the outcomes that they want to produce, even if it's just one of the first 10 steps of getting to an outcome, and then taking ownership for the response themselves required to produce that outcome, especially if nothing and no one else is going to contribute towards that outcome. And it just puts more pressure, responsibility, and skill and discipline on your response. So that mindset, Keith, and you can just even hear it from this conversation, that mindset is so critical to the skill set application, that if we're not really working on that mindset, and frankly, that I don't think that, and I guess I would ask you, because it's, you engage with it differently than I do, since you're not the creator of the system, so to speak, that mindset is, it just takes a lot of work, a lot of like really heavy lifting mental and emotional mechanical effort to actually figure out if you have that mindset and to build it so that it's really running like software in the back of your head, not autopilot, but like it's the way that you're viewing the world. It just takes a lot of work to get to that spot and wrestling with things like, I don't control outcomes, like wrestling with that. Like, yeah. Do I really understand what it means that I don't control outcomes? Because that is a huge, huge mindset shift for a lot of people. I'm interested in your thoughts on, as a user yourself, what it means to try to wrestle with those things.
From one standpoint, it really is simple. And it clarifies a lot of things for you and how you're going to handle a situation, whatever it might be. But I think the key is what you said. You're going to wrestle with things quite a bit. I found myself, and it I think it's just a great strategy. Sometimes you can't always do it. You don't have the time. You have to make decisions. But the press pause idea, to sit back and consider things and consider what your response is to this, rather than, you know, going to the default, acting on emotion, you know, letting maybe anger get the best of you or whatever it might be, some of those emotions that can get the best of you. It's sitting back and understanding how you're going to apply this. And you start to develop the consistency. You have to be disciplined about it. You have to, it's not just you're going to do this as a coach or you're going to do this as a teacher. You need to do it in every portion of your life. You need to do it with your spouse. You need to do it with your kids. You need to do it with your neighbors. I mean, whoever it might be that you come in touch with and whatever the events that you're going to deal with, you have to apply it across the board. And the good part is I think that when you try not to put it in that one box that this is where I really need to focus on it, that's where you get better at it, because you're applying it to all kinds of different situations.
You are, and that's why we say E plus R equals O is the way life works, not, you know, football, sales, customer service, you know, processes. It's life. Yep. You're only limited, frankly, you're only limited. I write this in my daily discipline email with some consistency. You're only limited in E plus R equals O to the extent that you're willing to apply it, do the work, and train. It's really the only limitation is effort, mm-hmm. because you can take it everywhere. And for me, that makes it very, just at a personal level and a professional level, it makes it incredibly reliable. It just does. So the second part, and you know, maybe we'll make this a two-part episode. Maybe we'll extend this into the second half of next week. In fact, let's do that. Let's push next week. Let's go deep into the skill set of E plus R equals O. Yep. And because I don't want to rush it or go too far, but the skill set of E plus R equals O has six components. Press pause is number one. Get your mind right is number two. Step up is number three. Adjust and adapt is number four. Make a difference is number five. And then build skill is number six. And what those six disciplines are, helping us build skill in is, again, I will go even simpler. Really, those are simply six behavior skills for your R, and that is think, feel, act, change, team, and learn with discipline in your response. So your response is the way you think, the way you feel, the way you act, the way you make changes, the way you team or interact with other people, and then the way you learn over time. And from a football perspective, I'll tee it up this way, Keith, from a football on-field perspective, how do we want our players to play?
Have poise and composure. We want them to go out and execute and do their jobs in a certain prescribed way that, you know, we expect of them, high standards, all those things. And it's a game that we are constantly dealing with. Every play is an event. Every single play. And we have to respond to that.
And do you want them to play fast or slow?
We want them to play fast.
Mm-hmm. You want them to play tough or soft?
We want to play tough.
Yeah. Do you want them to be resilient or easily broken?
We need resiliency if we're going to be anything.
Do you want them to be confident or nervous?
Of course we want them to be confident.
And we could keep going down the list.
Yep.
And so when I think of football and E plus R equals O, here's what I jumped to. I was a player, and this is how I approached it. E plus R equals O increases, and then not just that playing, but how do you want them to think and act and change and team and learn? You want them to do it fast, well-executed, tough, not easily broken, incredibly resilient, and confident. You want them to think, feel, act, change, team, learn, and you want them to do all of those things the same way they physically move on a football field. And then when you compound, if they have strong, tough, intense behavior skills, they can think a little faster, a little sharper, with a little bit more observation than the player across from them. What happens to their execution? What happens to their speed, their physical speed? The speed at which they play the game. If they can think just a little faster, see a few more things, process a little bit more information. What if they can adapt and change on the fly? What if they can experience a peak emotion but not be overwhelmed by it? What if they can experience a valley emotion but not be overcome by it? And they can recover faster, where it doesn't take you 3 quarters to recover from a mistake or 2 series to recover from a mistake, but it takes you only one break between a play to recover from a mistake that might put another guy out for 2 or 3 series. That's what this is about on a football field. So those are the skills behind E plus R equals O. And I think next week let's go through the skills and let's prioritize on field application and how to teach it, coach it, and bring it into the football environment. Because in a lot of other spaces, it gets discussed a lot in the off field application, which is probably more personally valuable, but I'm actually interested in the on-field football application of this because there's games to be won and championships to be competed for based on this.
Absolutely, Brian. It's great stuff. I'm excited that we're going to continue with E plus R equals O next week. I highly suggest going out there. If you're looking to get ready for your next season, you're planning that, you want to figure out how do we get better, go to usafootball.com/focus3. Brian has put together resources for coaches, specifically with the coach in mind, and he's offered it at a deep discount compared to what everybody else in every other walk of life has to pay for it. So check it out there. I also suggest signing up for the Daily Discipline. I find myself most days sharing it on LinkedIn or retweeting it, making a comment on it, just some very simple things, a few sentences, but things that really get you focused and where you need to be. And how can our listeners sign up for the Daily Discipline?
Focus3.com/DD for Daily Discipline. Focus3.com/DD. Put your name and email in, and you will be ready to rock and roll. It comes Monday through Friday, 6 a.m., typically 1 to 3 paragraphs, brief, direct, and immediately applicable to your life.
And I suggest taking a look into making a trip out to Orlando in February for our national conference, February 22nd through 24th. In addition to PJ Fleck, Herb Hand from Texas, Phil Longo from Ole Miss, we're going to have state championship coaches, guys who are national award winners, top of their game, and two sessions from Brian Kite. Brian, what are you going to be talking to us about?
One session is going to be on culture, and the next session is going to be on connection. Both of them, how do you execute culture or build a culture that executes to win championships and create a great experience? And then how do you build really deep connections with players so you can push them incredibly hard to do the difficult things required by this game? And then part of today's conversation, how do you build connection with all of the other people in your program that affect your program so that you minimize the risk that your program gets exposed to and you maximize the value that the people who are often so critical to the larger success, you maximize their impact to your football team.
And go to usafootball.com/NC19podcast. If you enter the code podcast99, you'll save on registration. It is one of the best events you'll attend as far as, I don't want you to think of it as just a football clinic. There's a lot of things going on there, on-field instruction, plenty of sessions where coaches get together, and it's just great to network with some of the best from around the country. Check it out. We're going to join you next week again for the second half of E plus R equals O. Brian, thanks again for taking the time to join us, and you have a good week.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.